Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to turn to the book of Romans. Chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 17. Where we started last week to talk about what it means to believe. Oh, and next Wednesday, my lovely wife will be preaching again, so it'll be great. I enjoy listening to her. She's a blessing. Well, we started to talk about what it really means to believe. You know, we use that term a lot. Well, I believe, I'm a believer. You know, I believe in this. Well, what does it really mean to believe, to embrace what God said, and to really give yourself over to it? And in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." All right? So the Bible is telling us that we can live by our faith. Faith is simply another term that means to believe. All right? So what does that mean? It means to be persuaded of something. It means to be convicted of a truth. It means to be assured of, you know, to have an assurance of. It means to be convinced by an argument, true or false. It means to rely on. It means to be confident. So all those words is what it means to believe. So when you believe in something, let's say you believe in healing, that means you're fully persuaded, you're absolutely convinced, you're assured of that what God said about healing is true, and you can live by that, you can rest on that, and that is the final answer. So if you're dealing with a sickness in your body, in your life, and you're fully persuaded, now how do you become fully persuaded? Give me some answers about how you get fully persuaded of something. Study it. What are some other things? How do you become fully persuaded? What? Confess. All right. Repetition. Right? Because the more you... How'd you learn your ABCs? You sat in class. The teacher kept going over ABCs, ABCs, ABCs until you could do it. Times tables. Amen? How many know our times tables? Okay. What are some other ways that you become fully persuaded? Hearing. All right, you're hearing, and then you've got to decide what you heard is true, and if it is true, then you need to really grab onto it. It becomes a firm foundation. You know, how many want to sit on a one-legged chair? How well is that one-legged chair going to hold you up? All right, how about a two-legged chair? All right, you have a little bit more stability, but still, if all you have is two legs on a chair, you're going to fall over. Three legs, well, that's a little bit better. But four legs chair, you know that that chair is solid. Aren't you glad that these chairs have four legs on them? See, too many people are trying to receive from God with a one-legged chair. And they fall. Because they haven't established their belief in that enough. It hasn't become strong enough. And sometimes... See, here's what happens when the Word of God is preached. A belief is established and a belief is strengthened. Those are the two things that occur. All right? Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Romans said, "The just shall live by faith." How many know that you can live by your beliefs? If it's worth believing, it's worth living for, right? And aren't you glad that the Bible is not complex? Tell someone close to you, say, the Bible is simple. It's we who make it too complex. All right, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident for the just shall live by faith. All right, go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews 10, 38. Now, everybody say now. You have to make a decision right now that you're going to start living by faith. Well, I'll live by faith when I get to it. If you're waiting to get to it, it'll never come. It starts right now because faith is now. All right? Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Did you know that a lot of people can have faith for salvation but not faith for healing? Even though it comes to us the same way? Even though faith is the means or the currency by which we get the things from God that God promised? Why? Because people probably heard more messages about salvation than they have about healing, so therefore their faith is not built up in the area of healing. But their faith has been built up really strong in the area of salvation. So in order to really get a hold of healing now, you have to hear the truth about what God said about healing in order to build your faith up in that area. Then you can live by your faith. Faith is not wimpy. Faith is strong. Faith is actually like a muscle. Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, your faith grows exceedingly. Can a muscle grow? Yep. It takes a lot of work, though, to get a muscle to grow. Believe me, I know. I've been getting my muscles to grow over the last 6 weeks, and they are growing. But I've had to lift some weight. I've had my first week in the gym, I was like this. I couldn't bend my arms because it hurt. But see, here's what happens when a muscle is concerned. The initial time that you work out, your muscles begin to tear down. But then after the teardown period, then they begin to build up. And once they build up, you can carry more and more weight. And our faith is the same way. See, we have to build up our faith. We have to take the vitamin W and the vitamin HG and the vitamin JC. That's the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, and the Word. All right? And when you take your vitamins, you'll be strong. But see, here he says that the just shall live by faith. Romans, Galatians, Hebrews. Let every word be established in two or three witnesses. All right? So what does it mean to believe? It means to be absolutely convinced that what God said is going to happen, will happen, and it cannot go any other way. All right? And last week we looked at the Roman centurion. All right? I'm not going to have you turn there, but Matthew chapter 8. The Roman centurion came to the Lord. His servant was sick. And he said, my servant is sick. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. So that centurion, by him coming to Jesus and by him having a right heart, the word was favorable to his situation because he went to the word for the answer, right? Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he looked like the Son of God. So there was something about the Roman centurion. And he told the Lord, he said, well, you know, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come over my house. But only speak the word, and my servant shall be whole. So he was persuaded, convinced, assured of that when Jesus spoke the word, whatever he said would happen. So he trusted, he relied on, he rested in the fact that if Jesus spoke it, it will happen. So all Jesus had to say was, your servant is healed, and that was it. And what happened? Jesus spoke the word, and Jesus was, I've not seen such great faith in all Israel. The confidence and the persuasion that the centurion had in the authority of Jesus caused Jesus to marvel at his faith. Jesus hadn't found such great faith in all Israel. You know, faith can be great, faith can be little. O ye of little faith. You ever hear Jesus say that? And that wasn't necessarily a good thing. Because Jesus described faith like a seed. And with any seed, what happens when you plant a seed, water it? What's going to happen? It will grow. As long as the conditions are there, you got soil, you got water, you got light, it's going to grow. And God expects our faith to grow. Okay? So what does it mean to believe? Go with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And let's go down to verse 21. Then Jesus went from there and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan. Now let's just stop right there. What do you know of Canaan? Canaan was the land that God gave to Israel. It was full of all kinds of ites. The Perizzites, the Jebusites, all kind of ites, right? It was the land that God gave to Israel as a possession. So Canaan was not associated with believers. She's a woman of Canaan. Came out from the coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. At least she called him Lord. Right? Now this term, son of David, was a term that the Jews used to describe him as Messiah. Matthew, in his genealogy, tells us that Jesus is a descendant of David. Right? So she had some kind of insight into who he was, but she wasn't a full believer yet. She at least knew where to go to get the answer. Okay? Now, she's crying out for mercy. She said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Her daughter was demon-possessed. How did the demon get there? We don't know. But the demon was there. It was vexing her. It was causing trouble in the family. All right? But thank God, she was in the right place to get the answer. Okay? Now, verse 23. But he answered her not a word. How many would have quit? I went to church, the preacher didn't even say hi to me. He didn't shake my hand. I'm never going back there again. The devil just won. Jesus! She called him Lord. She asked for mercy. He didn't answer her a word. But see, if you're a person that lives by their faith, see, to live by your faith means that you're not going to quit. You're not going to give in. You're going to persevere. You're going to endure. You're going to rest on the fact that Jesus is the answer no matter what. No matter what you feel like, no matter what others say, no matter what happens, Jesus is the answer, and I'm sticking with it. That's what it means to live by your faith. That's what it means to really believe. To fully embrace what God said is true. Now, I don't know how the devil got there. I don't know what the family was involved in that caused her daughter. You know, the devil just doesn't come in. He has to have a way in. Ephesians tells us, don't give place to the devil. You know, the Bible says that we can resist the devil steadfast in the faith. Okay? So if the devil is in your family somewhere, he got in there somewhere. All right? So he answered her not a word. Then his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. You know, faith, when you're living by your faith, what it really means to believe is you're going to stick with the answer until you get it. You're gonna hold on. You're gonna confess. You're gonna speak until you see the manifestation of it. Faith, true, genuine faith, refuses to quit. What does it really mean to believe? See, too many people, we give up so easily. We quit and we're just on the edge of our miracle or getting our need met. We quit because we allow feelings or our circumstance or the opinion of others to take a higher precedence over what God said. So he didn't answer her. The disciples said, "Send her away. She cries after us." Then, verse 24, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I'm sorry, but you're the wrong people group. That'd be a big problem for some people today, wouldn't it? The devil tries to separate races or ethnic groups. But you know what? We're all human beings. But see, faith, true, genuine faith, what it really means to believe is you refuse to get offended. You refuse to accept anything but the answer and the truth. What does it really mean to believe? Okay? Now, look at what she did. She could have gone away in a huff, but what does she do? "Then she came and worshiped him." Oh, she worshiped him. How can you tell if someone's in faith? Well, there's praise and there's joy. What does it really mean to believe? It means to express what you believe. It means to really believe it. Walk it out. See, your belief is something practical. She worshiped him. Nothing else is working. Worship will work. She totally focused on him. She worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." How'd you like to be called a dog? How many would appreciate the fact that, "I'm sorry, but I can't take the children's bread and give it to a dog"? What do you mean, a dog? What are you talking about? The just shall what? Live by your faith. That means whether you feel like it or not, you adhere to your faith. You live out what you believe. If you really believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you really believe that he died for your sins, if you really believe that he rose from the dead, see, a true belief in God will affect your behavior. It'll affect the way you live. It is a lifestyle. It'll affect how you talk, how you think. And she said, "True, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Now she comes in submission, calling him master, Lord. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "Woman, great is your faith." Did she start off with great faith? No. She started off weak. But because she hung in there, her faith got stronger and stronger. And what happened? "Be it unto you even as you will." And her daughter was made whole from that hour. The hour when she manifested faith. When she stuck to what she believed. She believed. She was convinced. She was persuaded. She was assured of that Jesus could set her daughter free. And she refused to be stopped by silence, by the disciples, by being called names, by being of the wrong race. She said, no, Jesus is for everybody. I'm hanging right here. And guess what? She got what she needed. Did you know that what it means to believe is your belief will always produce results? See, it's through what you believe. What you believe determines what you receive. If your receiving is off, then check your believing. Because your believing, it determines what you receive. And your believing will be made known by what you say and what you do. What happened when the men lowered the guy from the roof? The Bible said that Jesus saw their faith. He didn't say that he saw the man's faith, but he saw the people, their faith, the ones who lowered him. See, faith will be demonstrated by what you, it can be heard and it can be seen. And when you truly believe something, it's going to be evident in what you say and what you do. I love God, okay? Now, does your actions show people that you love God? I love my brother and my sister. You know, faith works by love. So if I have a problem with Jeremiah and I'm treating him bad, then it's going to be, if I'm having a problem with Jeremiah, it's going to be hard for me to operate in faith, because faith works by love. So if you have a problem with a brother or a sister, especially in the body of Christ, you're not going to be a great person of faith until you get that cleared up. You know what, Jeremiah, I'm really sorry for how I treated you. Would you please forgive me? All right, thanks, man. See, now I can operate in faith, because there are things that will hinder your faith. All right, let's look at another example. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. I almost said go with me to Cornelius, but that's who we're talking about. Yeah, one time they said turn to the book of imaginations, and everybody was trying to find it. Acts chapter 10. And let's go to verse 1. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion. You know, those centurions really had it going on. They were people of faith. And he was of the band called the Italian Band. I don't know if he played bass or lead guitar in the Italian Band. I don't know. Now notice verse 2. He was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Are you seeing some things in verse 2 about Cornelius and his lifestyle? His house believed God. If you went to Cornelius' house, you better honor God. Now, there was something missing in Cornelius' life, but he didn't know what it was, and he didn't know how to get it. But he was hungry for it. Okay? Verse 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, that's about 3 p.m., an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked at him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. You know, if your prayers are a memorial, you're doing it often. Okay? God was listening to his prayers and his giving. His prayers and his giving touched the heart of God. And verse 5, send men to Joppa, call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. Why didn't God just tell him what to do? Well, because, see, faith will also follow instructions. Faith does what God says. That's what it really means to believe, to do what God says to do. Okay? And if you try to reason it out, why should I go to Joppa? Why should I do this? Then you're missing out. Faith just obeys. Faith obeys quickly. All right? So, verse 7, the angel which spoke unto Cornelius was departed. He called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. I want you to notice, he heard a message from God. Then he took that message, what he heard, and he shared it with someone else. He told them exactly what he was told. You know, what it really means to believe is to speak the same thing that God speaks. Make sure that your message lines up with his. So he instantly, he told them what he was told. He declared all these things unto them. Then he sent them to Joppa. He did exactly what he was told to do. He didn't know what he should do, but he knew that God would give him the answer. And he prayed continually. He gave continually. He served God the best he knew how. Okay? So they drew to where Peter was. All right? And Peter ended up going with them. At the same time, God was speaking to Peter. And the Holy Ghost told Peter while he was sitting on the roof, he just had a vision. He said, there's two men waiting for you from Cornelius' house. Go with them, asking nothing. Okay? And now look at verse 24. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. You know, if you're really believing God, you're going to make preparations for what you're believing for to be there. God told him, I want you to send for Simon Peter. He told him exactly where he was. He said, have them, he'll show you what you ought to do. So Cornelius, now look at his obedience. He did what he was told to do. He shared the message with someone else. That's like confession. Okay, now he's making preparation. He gets his house ready. He's invited people over his house so that they know what they should do. See, to know if you're really believing is you have an expectation. For example, you know, when a woman is pregnant, they can take a sonogram of the womb, and that sonogram will show an image of a life that's on the inside. Now let me ask you this question. If God was to take a spiritual sonogram of what you're believing for, would there be a picture of what you're believing for on the inside of you? Would an image show up if God was to do a sonogram? There should be the same image in here is the one that you're expecting out here. Okay? That's what it really means to have faith. What it really means to believe is to let the Word of God form a picture on the inside of you and then expect that picture to come to pass. So, verse 25. Peter came in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up saying, stand up, I myself am a man. Thank God that Peter was a man of God. A true man of God will not receive worship. Because we represent the one true God. He gets the worship. It's Jesus whom we worship and adore. So, then verse 29, you know, Peter said, I came to you without gainsaying or without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore, for what intent do you have sent for me? Peter didn't know why he was there, and Cornelius didn't know what he was supposed to do, but he just did what God said to do. Amen? That takes faith. You may not understand what God's telling you to do. That's not the point. The point is just do it. Who are you trusting anyway? Your trust, when you really believe, your trust should be in God. The Bible tells us in Corinthians to have faith in the power of God. Your faith needs to be in God. Put your faith in God. Put your faith in the power of God. Put your faith in the Word of God. Put your faith in the name of Jesus. That's where your faith should be. See, if it's in the Lord, then it can't be shaken. But if it's in something else, how many has ever put faith in a person and that person let you down? Why? Because we're not God. So if you put your faith in people, you will be let down. But if you put your faith in God, He'll never let you down. We get our eyes on people too much. Well, I went up in the prayer line and that preacher prayed for me, but nothing happened. Your faith was in the wrong place. Your faith was in the preacher. Don't put your faith in me. If your faith is in me, it's going to falter. Put your faith in God, because He'll never falter. So Peter was there. Cornelius shared the vision of what the Lord spoke to him. And Peter just started opening his mouth and began to preach. How many know that when you're serving God, you can just open your mouth and He'll fill it? Both of these men are operating by faith. Peter was on a rooftop. He's having his vision, and he hears God's voice. Go with these men. He never met these men before. He just said, okay, I'm going to go with nothing. He said, go and don't ask any questions. Okay, I'm here. Why am I here? Cornelius just sent for him because God told him to do it. That's faith. That's what it really means to believe God. How many know that Cornelius didn't get on the phone and call his soldiers and say, what do you think I should do? God told me to do this. He didn't even get a bunch of people to pray. He just did what God told him to do. That's what it really means to believe. And Peter begins to preach. He talks about Jesus and His resurrection. And look at verse 44. See, what was missing in Cornelius' life was the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. While Peter yet spake these words, what was he doing? He was speaking words. How does faith come? By hearing words. And the moment you hear a word, it doesn't take you long to tell yourself whether you believe it or not. It doesn't take but a moment. Oh, I got to get in faith. I got to get in faith. I got to get in faith. It's not that hard. Why do you make it so hard? Just simply believe. What does it mean to believe? I'm grabbing onto that. It's mine. I can have it. God said it. It's true. That's it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's all it means. That can happen. You determine the time on how long it's going to take you to believe something. Now, sometimes, if you're analytical, you might have to build that belief up a little bit before it really becomes a reality in you. You know, how long does it take you to digest a sub sandwich from Subway? Huh? You got to chew it. It's got to go down into your stomach. It's got to pass through the small and large intestines. It's got to get digested and broken. It might take a couple hours before it gets in you. But there's a process. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word. You might not be right in faith the first time you hear it, so hear it again. Play it again, Sam. While Peter yet spoke these words, as he's speaking, the Holy Ghost is speaking through him. Faith is rising in Cornelius' heart and everybody that's in his house, faith is rising in them. The Holy Ghost fell on them, which, what? Heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. What was the result of them hearing the word? They got filled with the Holy Ghost. How did they know? Because there was a reaction that showed what they believed. They began to speak with other tongues. Speaking with other tongues is an initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Cornelius was a good man. He was a devout man. He did what he knew to do, but he was lacking power. And he's praying to God, Lord, I know that there's more. There's got to be more, Lord. I just open myself up to you. And God's speaking to him, Cornelius, your alms and your prayers have come before me as a memorial. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do to get that which is missing in you. So go do this. It took faith to do what God said. Peter, he's there. He's praying to God. He's meditating. God speaks to him. It took faith for him to go with Cornelius. He just shows up. He didn't even know why he was. He wasn't scheduled for a preaching meeting. He just was ready to serve God. See, the just shall what? Live by faith. It's got to be how you live. You can't be in faith and out of faith. Today's a faith day. Ooh, I woke up on the wrong side of the faith bed today. I just don't feel like being in faith. It doesn't work that way. You can't be in and out of faith. Faith is not a roller coaster. Faith is a steady, it's a steady movement. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's a steady movement. Faith, what it really means to believe. There's a steadiness that goes with believing. And faith is not shaky. Faith is not flaky. Faith is not achy. Then they were baptized with water, verse 47. They had just received the Holy... Imagine that. They received the Holy Ghost without being baptized in water. How can God do that? He can. Verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed with them to tarry certain days. See, not only... They had just used their faith. They did what it really means to believe. Now they wanted Peter to stay there for a few days so that they can really get their faith strong and be taught. They're like, I like this faith stuff. Does faith work all the time? Okay, two of you are convinced of that. And thank God for the two that are convinced of that. Does faith work all of the time? Is there ever a moment where faith doesn't work? Then what is the problem then when we don't get what we want? It's us working the faith. Let me show you with this. Some things that hinder your faith. Unbelief. I'm just going to take a minute here. When Jesus appeared to the disciples after he rose from the dead, which disciple didn't believe? Thomas. He said, I'm not going to believe it until what? I see it and I feel it. If I can't see it or can't feel it, I'm not going to believe. Okay? Jesus appears when Thomas is there. Here, Jesus. Touch my hands. Put your finger in my side. Did Jesus commend Thomas for not believing? He said, You believe because you see, but blessed are they who believe because they don't see. He didn't say, good job, Thomas, you're trying. You can't, faith is not something you try. Faith is how you live. What does it really mean to believe? It means to carry out what you believe in everyday life. So things that are going to hinder your faith, unbelief, anxiety, or worry. Those are faith killers. Little or undeveloped faith. When the Bible says little faith, it really means puny. Itty bitty little faith. Doubt. Why? Wherefore did you doubt? When Peter walked on the water and started to sink, Jesus said, why did you doubt? Reason. When you begin to reason things in your mind, faith doesn't work in the realm of your mind. It works in the realm of your spirit, because faith is a spiritual force. You got to get your faith in shape. All right, I'll close. Go with me to Mark 11, 22. And I'm closing. 22 through 24. Jesus said, have faith in who? In God. Well, I believe in family. And if I believe in family, I can get through anything. No. You can't. You've got to believe in God. Believing in family is good, but that's not the thing that's going to get you through anything. Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, faith speaks, be removed, be cast into the sea. Is there any doubt what he wanted the mountain to do? Look, there's a mountain in my way. I'm walking along and there's this mountain. It's hindering me. It's stopping me. It's an obstacle. What is your mountain? Anything that causes you not to believe. So you got to speak to it. That's how you operate in faith. Faith operates with words and action. Do not doubt in your heart. You can't doubt and be in faith at the same time. It's like oil and water, they just don't mix. But shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. Only speak the word, it shall be so. Lord, have mercy on me, my daughter is grievously vexed. Yea, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs. She had faith that she believed that a crumb could help her. And a crumb did. A crumb of faith can wipe away the devil. Think about that. You know how powerful faith is? What you believe? What does it really mean to believe? You got to believe what you say. Now, if you're used to calling things, if you're used to calling big guys small and small guys big, you're going to confuse your own heart. And when you try to operate in faith, your heart, your words, and your heart have been in disagreement, and you try to operate in faith, it's not going to work. The just shall live by what? Faith is a lifestyle. If you're going to walk the walk of faith, there's no room for negative talk. None. Because your heart will believe your words, whether positive or negative. That's why he said, you got to believe those things that you say will come to pass. You got to expect it. You got to see a picture of it on the inside. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. Say, believe you receive. So, in other words, you got to see yourself with it before you have it. You've got to see yourself with it. You've got to believe you receive before you have it. When you pray, you have a desire. What's your desire? Pray. Then believe that you receive and you shall have. What does it really mean to believe? It means to have your mouth and your heart in agreement with what God said. All right? And you shall have them. Notice the believing you receive comes before the having. So when it comes to healing, you got to see yourself healed before you're healed. You got to see yourself prosperous before you prosper. See, what does it really mean to believe when the word is a reality on the inside of you? You don't just know it here, but it's a part of your being. There's so many other examples that I could give, but I don't have time. Stand up with me. What are you believing for? What do you need to change in your life? What are you believing for? Think about it for just a minute. What are you believing for? Okay. Now that you have a picture of what you want to happen in your life, all right, you got to strengthen your belief in that. How do you do that? You got to find out what God said about it. If it's healing, you got to find out what God said about healing. If it's a need that you have, maybe you want to pay your bills. Well, you got to see yourself. You got to find out what God says about provision. Maybe you need guidance and direction. Maybe you don't know what you're supposed to do with your life. Well, then you need to find scriptures that talk about guidance and being led. You need to build your faith in that area. You need to find out what God, you need to hear what God says in that area. You know? Maybe you need to be set free. What does God say about it? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You got to believe. God doesn't believe for you. Why didn't Jesus just tell the woman, oh yes, dear child, I'll heal your daughter? Because he wanted to know if she really believed. She wanted to know if when tough times come, are you going to stick with what you believe? Or are you going to trade it in for something that's less? Like the opinion of a doctor. You know, truth will change your circumstance. Facts will just agree with your circumstance, but truth will change your circumstance. See, you're already receiving strength right now. Strength is coming to your heart. See, when you begin to consider what God has done for you in the past, faith comes to your heart. And then with faith comes strength and power. And then all of a sudden, that seed has taken root and it's producing now a harvest. So the harvest is coming. What you believe will come to pass. That's what it really means to believe. It's not by works of righteousness. It's by simple believing, putting your trust in God. We can't be good enough. We can't do enough good things. All God wants us to do is believe. Put our trust in Him. When you believe, all the things become possible. Your belief is the key to unlocking the impossible door. God gives you a master key to unlock the impossible with a simple turn of your belief. A simple turn of what you believe will unlock that door of impossibility, and now it becomes possible. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, there's an anointing here, Father, to believe that we receive whatever it is we need from God. God's word is true. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Faith begins with Him. Faith ends with Him. He completes your faith. Put your faith in Him, and you'll not be let down. Some of you may need to change your attitude towards the things of God. You need to quit being like David's wife, who criticized the way he worshiped. And when she did, she was made barren for the rest of her life. You need to get over your traditions of men, because the traditions of men make the Word of God ineffective. If your belief hasn't produced what you want, then you got to change what you believe. You got to change your belief system. Maybe you believed a lie. Maybe you believe something false. When you believe a lie, you'll be put into bondage. But when you believe the truth, you'll experience such true freedom. There's an anointing here, folks, to believe. I want you just to cry out for whatever it is you need, all right? I want you to see yourself with what you need already done, already finished, already completed. Call yourself the complete work. I call this church full in Jesus' name. I call my family prosperous in Jesus' name. I call myself victorious in Jesus' name. Call yourself what you believe right now. Release your belief with your words right now. See that loved one saved. See that sickness in your body healed right now. Call yourself healed. Call yourself full. Call yourself whatever it is you need. Call yourself. Express your belief. Call it out. Use your words. And speak it with boldness. Don't worry about who hears you. God's listening. We're kicking over sacred cows right now. I want to see Christians who are supposed to be believers. Don't let negative words steal your blessing. Don't let bad attitudes stop God from doing what he wants to do. Let him have his way. Oh, there's an anointing here, folks. Tap into the power of God. Put your faith in the power of God. It's a breakthrough night. You're a breakthrough believer. You're a miracle going somewhere to happen. God will energize you with his power. Your job is to believe. He'll do the doing. You do the believing. It's time to be free. Free from anything that hinders you. Free from bondage. Free from the past. Free from negative words that have been spoken over you. Free. Debt free. Just see God with a big gun blowing your debt away. Shattering your debt. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, we just give you thanks and praise. There's power in your word. When you put your faith in God's word, he'll never let you down. And from this moment on, you act like you have what you declared. You act like you have it. In your attitude, in your thinking, you act like you have it because you do. Just like Cornelius, just like the Syrophoenician woman, just like the centurion, all of them were heathens. They didn't know much about God, but they knew that God was the answer. And they ended up leaving with what they came for because they believed. And God is no respecter of persons. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this word tonight. We just thank you, Lord, for this time of refreshing. I just see that your faith is strengthened. You have the spirit of might and a power working in you. And it's rising up like the yeast rises in the bread. And then if the Lord just puts something on your heart to do, just do it. Just obey. Don't worry about trying to figure it out. Just do it. You know, God wants so much for us. Sometimes, you know, we just fall short of the glory of God. God wants so much more. You know, Father, right now, Lord, I just thank you for the fire of God, Lord, to just burn in this couple right now. Father, just set them ablaze with the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, right now, everything that's in their heart, Lord, bring it to pass. Bring it to pass. The fire of God. Fire in Jesus' name. I just see liquid lava flowing from the throne. I want you to say this with me. Nothing is impossible to me because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe what he says is true. I believe he wants to do great things for me. I believe I'm his child. I believe I'm washed in the blood. I believe I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I am prosperous and I am successful because I speak the word and I do what it says. I live it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Will the Lord give you something tonight? Things are about to change. Let me rephrase that. Things have changed. Things have changed. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. The only thing is if you don't want to change, the Lord won't make you change. It's up to you to change. Cornelius could have said, I'm not going to Joppa. And he probably would have missed out on the Holy Ghost. But the Lord gave him an option. See, the Lord gives you an invitation. You know, if you want to be tormented by the devil, the Lord will let you be tormented by the devil because that's your choice. Because he gives us the power in his name over the devil. You can be tormented or you can be free. The choice is yours. I choose to be free. Amen? And I guarantee you, if a snake comes to this camp, I'm pulling out the sword and chopping its head off. If a wolf tries to come in and steal a sheep, I'm going to kill it. That's my job. Because you were purchased with God's blood. You are precious in his sight. I'm going to make sure that you have green pastures and still waters to feed from. Amen. Have a good night. Enjoy your refreshing.